Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Good morning.
So as we have been hearing and seeing that February is Black History Month, and each Sunday this month we're going to feature a short video just like the one we saw, and the videos are all created by the African American Circle from our Center for Spiritual Living in Dallas, and they feature pioneers of science of mind. Now, Black History Month, you may know, was first proposed by educators at the Kent State University in 1969, and the first celebration of Black History Month took place there a whole year later in 1970. But by 6 years after that time, it was celebrated all over the nation in educational institutions and centers of Black culture, and then President Gerald Ford recognized Black History Month during the celebration of the United States Bicentennial, and he urged us to seize the opportunity to honor the two often neglected accomplishments of Black Americans in every area of endeavor throughout our history. And so the folk in Dallas have created these videos for us to use in February so that we can also honor the accomplishments and the contributions of Black Americans to our very own spiritual movement, Centers for Spiritual Living. Now, we in Santa Rosa began our celebration, as you heard, this past Wednesday with a gospel music concert, and the remainder of our Wednesday evenings this month will be dedicated to Black History Month, and will feature Kelvin Johnson, Olivia Kinsler, and Lawrence Edwards, 7 p.m. every Wednesday, and anyone and everyone is welcome to attend. Now, in keeping with this observation, we're going to do something a little different next week. Next week, I'm going to show you a 20-minute video on what white privilege means to us as a spiritual community and as individuals who are interested in co-creating a world that works for everyone. Now, the way it will work next week is we're going to have to move things around in the service to accommodate this video. So we'll skip the closing announcements, we'll skip the closing song, and we'll start the videos 10 minutes close to the end of the service, which means we're going to run over next week. We're going to go longer than normal. So I'm giving you a little time to plan around that. So you can plan to stay for the 10 minutes longer, or if you need to leave at your regular time because of your schedule, that'll be okay. We'll understand that too. But the video will be showing, and it's going to be awesome. Look, the video may stimulate questions. It may stimulate feelings. And so you might also want to plan to attend our diversity discussion group, which conveniently takes place on that same Sunday at 1:30 p.m. And it's open to all. It takes place every second Sunday of the month. And the purpose of our diversity discussion group is to create a container, an environment in which we can navigate these ideas and questions about diversity and inclusivity and social ranking and status and racism and privilege. Now, I'm going to get back to privilege in a moment. First, I want to say that here at the Center for Spiritual Living, our focus at the Center for Spiritual Living is for each person to become aware of the glorious holy life that is living through each one of us, and to allow that life, that holiness to come through us into expression with as few blocks as possible. So what does get in the way of that life coming through? Well, a number of things. Some imagined, some very real. Our primary focus at the Center for Spiritual Living are those blocks that are within our own mentality, inside of us. Now, these are the blocks that are sometimes hidden from view because they're not out there, they're in here. We call those hidden beliefs. Now, they can be hidden from us for a number of reasons. For example, cultural conditioning, you know, because everybody is doing it, we don't notice it. Or maybe they're hidden from us because they're so close to us that we can't see it for ourselves, even though everyone else can. I'll give you an example of that. Recently, somebody said to me, "Oh, Edward, you have such a lovely accent." And it took me a moment, because as far as I'm concerned, I don't have an accent. She does. See, I don't hear my accent, but other people do. You know, and I thought about it for a moment, and I realized, you know, I don't really think about having an accent. That's not something that's on my mind all the time. But if I'm honest with myself, I do have a story about my accent. Tucked away in there, you know. I have a belief system that's kind of hidden through forgetfulness. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I grew up in South Africa where a South African accent wasn't considered a good thing. Our accent from other English-speaking countries was considered to be crude and rough. Undesirable. Then when I relocated to the United States, all of a sudden my accent became desirable. So I tucked away that idea that I have a crude and undesirable accent and left it there. But it's still there. Don't you know? There it is, you know, tucked away, hidden below the surface, you know. It showed up again recently. See, what happened was I wrote a new book and I got a call from the publisher saying, "Would you like to read the audiobook of your own book?" You know, and a one opportunity. I got so excited, but you know, I hesitated to say yes. And I didn't even know why I hesitated until I started thinking about it. I said, "Yep. What's this all about? Why did I hesitate?" Well, I realized that there, tucked down inside of me, that invisible belief system was whispering, "You have a crude and rough accent." And it was about to cause me to hesitate, to question my ability to be successful. Isn't that interesting? See, the moment that lady said, "You have a lovely accent," her words bumped up against my hidden belief and kind of brought it to the surface again. And you know, when things like this happen, I have a moment of embarrassment. You know, like that moment when you realize you've got parsley in your teeth and nobody told you and you just went to a job interview. You know, that moment. Oh, hi. And then you may ask, how is it possible? Or in my case, how is it possible that this idea is still controlling me? How is it that hidden belief can still influence me like that, you know? That's the way of hidden beliefs. When they come up, they can be embarrassing. Often because we are the last ones to realize that we have them. So it's best to bring hidden beliefs out gently to the surface where they can be seen for what they are. Like ideas about white privilege. See, from my perspective, I don't have an accent. It's not in my consciousness. But I do. From my perspective, I really don't think about my whiteness. From my perspective, I don't really think about privilege. Probably because privilege is about what a person doesn't have to endure. You know, about what a person never had to think about, never had to worry about, or cope with, or work around. See, it's like I've got parsley on my teeth. I don't see it, so it's your problem, not mine. I don't go around thinking I have an accent, but I do, and other people can see it. I don't go around thinking I'm white, but I am, and other people can see it. I don't go around thinking I'm privileged, but I am. And when I am unaware of my privilege, I can become insensitive to its impact on you. And I can also become unaware of what it is like for a person who doesn't have that privilege to be in this world without access to the stuff I take for granted. Again, the focus at the Center for Spiritual Living, Santa Rosa, is for each person to become aware of the glorious, holy life that wants to express itself through each one of us while being mindful of the hidden influences that are at play in our mentality. So we ask questions like, am I being my own person? Am I living with integrity? Am I being authentic? Am I bringing the goodness of the divine nature into this world in a way that I'm proud of? Am I being awake and conscious as I can? That's what we ask here. Kevin and I, we watch RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star. You know, if you don't know what it is, you got to look it up. It's an Emmy Award-winning show on television. Not drag artists. It's our guilty little pleasure, you know. We watch it at home. Fun. Then the other day, we noticed that a coffee shop downtown was featuring a public viewing of the TV show. So we went along. And something changed from being at home watching it to being in a group watching it. Oh my goodness, in a group, the energy of the group audience is contagious. It takes over. You know, I noticed we were laughing much more in a group of people than when we were at home, when we were just snicker, you know. And then at one point, I caught myself laughing spontaneously, and I didn't know why. Because I had my attention had, I think I was ordering a cookie or something. So I didn't know what was funny, but the group laughed and so did I. It was okay to laugh, you see. But truly, in that moment, I had to ask, who was I being? Was I being me? I mean, this is a relatively harmless example of the group influence, and it got me to thinking about two very specific things. Number one, I got to thinking about what it feels like to be in a welcoming, accepting, safe environment. You see, Kevin and I, in that environment, we felt safe to be ourselves there. And it's a privilege that we don't have everywhere in this world. You know, many couples do not have to think to pause before they walk into a coffee shop and think, wait a minute, is it okay for us to be here? You know the movie Green Book? It shines the light on this, you know, on how black travelers have faced major problems that are just unknown to most whites. Privilege is about what a person doesn't have to go through. Now, if you've never had to plan your day or plan your travel or plan your visit to a coffee shop around such things as safe passage, then you're privileged. The second thing I learned from visiting and laughing in that coffee shop was how easy it is to get caught up with the crowd and go the way of the group, you know. And I got to ask myself, where in my life is that happening? Where am I just going along without thinking? Rabbi Harold Kushner, he tells a story in one of his books about the Madden Mills textile factory, which burnt down in the 90s completely to the ground overnight. And so overnight it wiped out that whole town. And the town is Lawrence, Massachusetts. Wiped out the whole town's industry. 3,000 workers in the morning didn't have a job. Gone. Now the owner, Aaron Feuerstein, he made a decision that really surprised the world because he was being his own person and not going with the crowd. I mean, he could have taken the insurance money. That would have been conventional wisdom. He could have retired a wealthy man and be done. But no, he didn't. He didn't go the popular route. What he did was he decided to rebuild right there in that town. Not to move, relocate overseas, as many people advised, go further south where it was cheaper labor. No, right there in that town. And shockingly, he also decided that all of the people on his payroll would receive a check for the next 2 months while the rebuilding was taking place. And when asked about it, he said he made the decision because it was the right thing to do. It was about keeping integrity with himself. And do you know he got a lot of publicity for doing this, which doesn't speak very well for our society, that an act of altruism should be unusual enough to be not newsworthy. He was doing what was right with his inner life. And you know where he got his inspiration? Not from the business world and its popular practices, but from his sacred book, the Torah, which he says explains that it is not permitted to oppress working people, poor people, people who are different, people who are not part of the community, vulnerable people. It's not okay. You know, it's not always easy to do the right thing. Now, it gets easier when I get clearer on what do I want to bring into this world. And I'm noticing something, that when I do the right thing, I can feel it. It's like a rightness. It's like a cog on a gear that slots into the correct place. The focus here at the Center for Spiritual Living is for each person to become aware of the glorious life that wants to live through them and then to live from it, to experience that integrity and rightness. And when you and I start paying attention to that inner life and what it wants to do, we can expect things to start moving. There should be a warning label on this work that says, you may experience all or some of these things. Like, for example, disorientation and confusion. Why? Well, because you may start noticing and rejecting ways of thinking that don't work for you and don't work for our world. And these may be ways of thinking that you took for granted and never thought to question. Another warning should be on the label. You may experience random waves of emotion. It's because as you start opening up to seeing your blind spots, your privilege, your hidden beliefs, your blocks in consciousness, you may experience feelings like, for example, loss, regret. And you may even start to feel this spaciousness where you realize that the you that is you has room for something new. Another warning on the label should be, you may experience the resurfacing of old unresolved issues. Yay! Because as your heart and mind starts to soften, it creates the environment, like the diversity discussion group, for those things to come forward. And finally, you may experience anxiety because you may be facing a whole new understanding of who you are, and it may be so unfamiliar, but it causes you anxiety, avoidance, reactivity, pushback, denial, refusal. So somebody might be sitting there, wow, Edward, is there any good news? Yes, there is. And that's the topic for next week. Yes, yes. The upside, the good news that comes from facing our blind spots and growing in consciousness, and how that kind of inner work can result in us having an increased hunger for introspection and mindfulness, an increased hunger for integrity and inclusion and accuracy and truthfulness, an increased hunger for loving kindness and compassion. There is light at the end of the tunnel. So, remember to plan an extra 10 minutes for next week, because we're diving in the deep end with a gentle exploration of what does it mean to have white privilege. So I'm going to invite you to join me in prayer to close, and I'm going to use the prayer that is sometimes called St. Francis' Prayer for Peace. Even though we know he didn't write it, it still is a classic. So I invite you to breathe in and exhale. Make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is offense, let me bring pardon. Where there is discord, let me bring union. Where there is error, let me bring truth. Where there is doubt, let me bring faith. Where there is despair, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. Let me not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternity. And so it is. I invite you to breathe in deeply with me and to exhale. As we use that movement of the breath to make our transition to our spiritual practice of circulation. Circulation includes giving, receiving, celebrating, all of the wonderful things that keep us in the flow of creative expression. And in this particular form, it's our form of financial support for our center so that it can continue to do the good work that it does in our individual lives and in our community and the world. I'd like to take a moment to think about that, so that we feel the largeness of our giving. It goes beyond making a donation. There's something beautiful in the act. So if you gave electronically or in another form, we can still pause for a moment and consider the love that is backing that action. So please take your gift in your hand, or if you gave in another way, place your open hand on your chest as a symbol of your heart connection, your intentionality behind the giving. And say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.